Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and bloom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. These are the words the prophet Isaiah uses to describe God's promise of restoration and renewal for God's people. The Hebrew people to whom Isaiah spoke were familiar with desert land, literal dry places where water and vegetation are scarce. And they were familiar with deserts of the heart and spirit as well. They were familiar with warfare and the fear and uncertainty that comes with it. They were displaced people, exiled in Babylon, taken from their homes, longing for a return to home and the ways of life and worship they had known. We too are people who know desert, literal desert. And for many of us, the high desert is a place of great beauty. But we are coming more and more to also understand the scarcity of water and what that means for livelihoods and ecosystems in the desert. We also understand the desert of the spirit. When our hearts inside us feel parched for companionship, thirsty for comfort, longing for one who is gone, or for something to fill and nourish us. We long for the presence of God, by whose promises waters shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. Yesterday, Bishop Gonia was here at All Saints for a regional gathering called From Worry to Wonder. He started by talking about how often we get caught up in cycles of worry, how that the worry itself can take on such energy that we kind of become unaware of what kind of started it off, and we're just circling the worry. And so he invited us to pause in those cycles and to ask ourselves, what is at stake? What do we fear? What purpose or longing lies underneath our worry? By pausing to step outside a cycle of worry, we can begin to address it, to minimize its power over us. And including another person to share the worry and the cycle that we're in can do even more to bring new perspective and possibility. And so then we went about doing that yesterday to talk about our worries about church. Bishop Gonia invited us to think of one worry that we have about church and consider it a bit further. What fear is behind the worry? What are we afraid might happen or afraid we might lose? Where in that worry do we experience a lack of control? What do we wish we could change or control, but we can't? And we shared our worries and fears with one another in small groups and then in the larger group. And they were not surprising things: budget and money, shortage of pastors, aging congregations, not things that I think would surprise any of you. And they are valid concerns. The worries are real and the fears are real, but that's just the starting place. Bishop Gonia reminded us that when we get in a circle of worry, we often lose sight of the core purpose of what we are about. What is the purpose of all these things that we do as a church? Relationship is a purpose. Being connected to one another and to God in the community. Service is a purpose. Being a part of God's work, our hands, that's our ELCA tagline. God's work, our hands in the community around us. The mission statement of the Rocky Mountain Synod states that our purpose is to proclaim and embody God's unconditional love for the sake of the world. Our All Saints mission states that our purpose is to welcome, to grow in faith, and to serve our community. And so then Bishop Gonia invited us to consider our worries again, keeping in mind the purpose or reason for doing what we do, and to ask ourselves, what might God be inviting us to do to recenter on that purpose in the midst of our worry? For me, the worry was budget, because, you know, it's December and we're writing our budget always during Advent. And as soon as he asked the question, I thought, God is inviting us to trust. God is inviting us to see that we have all the resources we need to do what we need to do here. And it was just that clear to me. Bishop Gonia addressed some of our other common worries. We worry that there are not enough people to fill all the roles and do all the things we've been doing. And the invitation he suggested might be that we let go some of the things that no longer serve the purpose that they were started for, or the purpose that we focus on now. There's a worry about, how do we get people to come back here with us? We love our worship here in our sanctuary. How do we get people to come back? Or just to come at all for the first time. Now, one thing he reminded us is that most people, do you know the reason most people come to church for the first time? Someone invites them. That's you, not me. You. Someone in the congregation invites a friend or acquaintance to worship. That is what brings people to worship. But there's another invitation there, which is, how do we go out into the community or use all this new technology we finally learned how to use because there was a global pandemic to engage people where they are? I talked last week about an advocacy conference that I had attended, and we began with an exercise to explore our mission and purpose. It's hard work that we do in the church, in advocacy, in working toward justice. And the moderator started us by focusing us in. And so she said, instead of going around and say your name and where you work or, you know, something like that, give your name and answer, what do you love? What do you serve? It's a great question that takes a little more thought than what church do you go to or where are you from? As folks working at churches and working for justice, we had a lot in common, but we also had different things to motivate and empower us to do the work. What do you love? What do you serve? People spoke about serving the spirit of love, serving a God of creativity and diversity, or about serving a population of people, Black women leaders or queer folks working for equity and justice. For me, when I heard the question again, my answer was immediate. I thought of the mission of the Rocky Mountain Synod. We proclaim and embody God's unconditional love for the sake of the world. And I remembered a pastoral colleague who told me years ago that he sees in me a relentless desire to let everyone know how much God loves them. I remember it because it's one of the nicest things anyone has said to me. For me, that is the core of the work, to tell people and show people, you and myself and everyone out there, everyone our congregation encounters, that God adores you as you are. For me, being reminded of that core purpose in my life and ministry invited me beyond anxiety and fear. Why am I here? Can I do this? Am I really strong enough? Is there enough time? How will it work? And into a place of trust and hope in God. When we claim the work that we're about together, then we'll have the resources to do it. When John the Baptist asks Jesus, "Are you the one we're waiting for? Because if you're not the one, I'm going to keep looking." Jesus wasn't doing exactly what John and many other people expected to free them from the Romans. And Jesus responds with an answer about mission and purpose. "What do you think, John? The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed and reintegrated into community, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. The people on the margins are brought back in." And so I ask, how will people know we are followers of Jesus? When we remain focused on this mission of healing and serving and sharing the good news of God's love in the world. "The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing." It's not easy to be church these days. It's not easy to follow Jesus these days. There is much reason for worry and fear, but there is so much reason for hope and joy. Because we worship a God who brings streams in the desert, hope from despair, and new life out of death. We worship a God who calls us to move from worry and fear into the wonder of God's everlasting love. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.